from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And that's why I think people in the locker room respect him, because he's authentic, yeah. And he's a worker. You know, those two things, and obviously the talent, you know, certainly helps that, you know, facilitate that. But there's no question he's a really good teammate.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Interim coach Matt Eberflus talking about Caleb Williams on SiriusXM. There's no question he's a really good teammate. Yeah, he protects his offensive line better than offensive line protects him. Mark Grody let us know that he's counted 7 false starts today, second day in pads. Guess I got to get used to his cadence. Everybody better get used to that. So let's see how things are going up at Hallis Hall and through different eyes. Our guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois brings us Hub Arkesh, our NFL expert, our senior NFL analyst. Hub, how are you today?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm all thudded up. I wanted to be thudded up just like that. So all these false starts, expected, not expected, worrisome, where are they on the hub-o-meter for mistakes made in the second padded practice?
Yeah, they are the normal parts of early training camp, and this is stuff that's going to go on. I mean, if it's, you know, over the top, if it's just happening all the time, you worry about it a little bit. But if it's just something that's happening occasionally, that's, you know, a rookie quarterback, and that'll probably go away in the next week or two.
Barkus is my guest, scores analyst. So what have you seen from Caleb Williams, padded and otherwise, that it seems like good and bad, but it seems like we were talking about it earlier, he kind of rallies. Whatever bad stuff might be going on, whatever mistakes are made, he seems to find a way to rally it, to show you some of that, to show you the talent, the reason why he became that guy.
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, at this point, He's looking very good. I don't want to say really good. I don't want to say great, but he's looking better than I expected, and he's looking very good, and he's reacting well. He clearly is ready for the moment. You know, mentally, he's set. He's ready, and now he's just got to keep learning. That's the bottom line. And then physically, you know, you have to experience some of these things on the field in pads with contact, and they just haven't had enough of that yet. But with what he can accomplish this early in the process, I think he's looked very good so far, better than I expected.
Better than you expected. You didn't have what? Why were your expectations lower than this, or in what areas has he exceeded that? What parts of playing quarterback have exceeded that?
Yeah, I don't think it's that he's exceeding anything, or that I didn't expect much, or that I had negatives. It's just that it's early, and it takes so much to learn this position, and you don't know until you see these guys playing with other, you know, NFL players and how they react to them, you know, how quickly you think they're going to evolve. And what I've been surprised by is that he seems to be evolving as quickly as he is, you know. And maybe I should have expected that, because we knew that he was the most NFL-ready quarterback of the 6 taken in the first round. But, you know, there's no negative here. I didn't expect anything negative. It's just happening faster than I thought it might. And that's, I guess, because, you know, he was the number one pick, and because he's so ready.
Hub Arkesh is my guest, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking Bears football here on The Score on Saturday Suckage. The discussion that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles are having about how much to play Caleb Williams, starting with Thursday's game, how many preseason snaps, and the window seems to be 45 to 65, and that goes along with the offensive line,
how much to play all of the starters and whether to play them Thursday. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I think early first, and they've got an extra preseason game too, you got to remember. So, you know, I think you want to be careful. You worry about injuries. Those are the most important things. Those are what you're trying to protect, especially with your starting quarterback. But then you've got the flip side, which is that you have a rookie quarterback who is going to be your opening day starter, and you've got to get him ready. And so I think they're going to have to try and balance the two. And I think that he will probably, you know, participate a little bit less than most starting quarterbacks, just because, you know, you want to keep him safe. You want to get him ready. But I don't think it's going to be little. I think he's going to be, you know, most of the time, I think he's going to be leading the team. And I think he has to, because on opening day, he's your starting quarterback. You got to get him ready.
And I think it makes so much sense to do that. I understand the argument. We got to get him healthy for that. You can get hurt at any time. But if that quarterback who hasn't played in the NFL and that offensive line who hasn't played with that quarterback in the NFL aren't ready to play, you can't give away another September the way Eberflus gave away September last year. This team was unprepared to play. This team hadn't been thudded up, hadn't faced enough action. And you saw other quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks, who were far more ready than the Bears looked. So I would hope that they would err on the side of closer to 65 than 45. And even if it's just a bunch of running plays early on, so he gets this kind of experience. I don't know where else he could turn to get it. What are your options besides playing real football? Because you need to play real football.
Well, I think what we're going to find out is how much they learned from last year. Because, Steve, we were talking about this at this time last year. I was really concerned and disappointed with how little they were doing in training camp, mm-hmm. how easily they were taking it. And I think it showed in the 0-4 start, you know. And I think they're going to learn from that. And now they have an older team, a more veteran team, so that's going to help. But still, they have to do more. And I think we've seen that. Even the first couple of days with pads on, I think we're going to see more in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I think they're going to try and find the right balance. And so I would look for, you know, some of the more veteran players to still get more time off and not worry so much about it. But with these younger players, you know, now there was no exception. There was no expectations last year. Whatever happened was going to happen. But nobody was talking about playoffs or Super Bowls or anything like that. I hope nobody's talking about Super Bowls yet, but a lot of people are talking about playoffs. And so they've got to make sure that they get them ready to contend for that on opening day, not week 3, not week 5, not week 7. And so I do expect them to have more contact, to do more, to work harder these next couple of weeks, you know, in these early days of training camp.
My guest is Hub Arkers, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We're talking Bears football here on The Score. You've been through so many of these, both good Bears teams and questionable Bears teams, and good units versus bad units. So what we're seeing is an offensive line in flux. It just doesn't, it's probably the weakest unit on the Bears of all, if you're breaking down all the positions. And you have a defensive line that you believe is part of a top-notch defense. These top five, top ten, whatever it is, top five, top ten. And how can you accurately judge the defensive line and whether you need another pass rusher or how good it is, period, if it's going against an offensive line this suspect? How do teams handle that?
Well, Steve, I'm not sure I agree that this offensive line is as suspect as some people think it is. I think it needed to get better. There's no question about that. I'm not even sure it's the most questionable position group on the team right now with the additions that they've made and the development of the young players. You know, Tevin Jenkins has been interesting for the last couple of years because of injuries, because of various things. But last year, second half of the season, he was playing really well. And, you know, if he has reached that point where he has the ability to be a top guard, you know, I think that you're better there. Your two young tackles continue to get better. There's no question about that. And then you've got these veterans that you've brought in. So I think that it's they're developing it, and they've got to figure out, you know, they've got to commit at this point who their starters are going to be at both guard positions and center. But I do think they have a lot more talent competing at that, and I'm not sure that the offensive line is a concern right now. I think it's more figuring out what the, you know, what the position group is going to be, who's going to be starting at each position. But they've definitely upgraded the talent there. And that, with the improvement of the two young tackles, I think it's got a chance to be a plus for the team this year.
A way of protecting Caleb Williams is to have a running game that works, and he seems willing and accurate on the check down passes. And the other option, well, you have tight ends, and we certainly know that Komet is an accomplished tight end, and they can also block. It would appear they can block. What's the blocking ability in order to give Caleb Williams the best chance? What is the blocking ability? How would you rate Cole Komet and Gerald Everett?
Well, I think they're certainly average or better. You know, I'm not going to say they're the best blockers in the world, but they work at it. There's quality, and then you've got the veteran too. You know. So I think the blocking part of it is going to be okay as it commits to the running game. And I think it's one of the better tight end groups in the league right now. You know, it's not the best. I'm not going to overrate them, but I think Cole Komet has a chance to go to a Pro Bowl before he's through. Everett is a very good veteran, a real improvement at number two. And you got the old man, you know, who can do whatever you need him to do, whatever you want him to do it. So, you know, it's like every position group. So, you know, the ones that were a concern last year are much improved this year. We don't know how good they're going to be. And a couple of them have gotten really good. It is the best wide receiver group in the league right now. I've heard it listed as the best tight end group, group in the league. And I don't know, it's not the best tight end group in the league, but I've heard it listed as the best linebacker group in the league. So there are a couple position groups that are really impressive, and that's why I think the rates are so high, or not the rates, but the predictions are so high on these teams right now.
DeAndre Swift will have a good year if, or what, do you look at it in terms of numbers and catches and total offense? Does it need to be a specific kind of balance? If he is a kind of difference maker and security blanket and threat that makes your wide receivers even better, your tight end even better, Caleb Williams even more secure, where does he need to come in with certain numbers or carries or catches?
Well, he definitely needs to improve the blocking at the position, and he needs to, you know, improve the decision making at the position. As a running back, you know, the Bears led the league in rushing last year. Now, that was partly because of Justin Fields, no question about that. But, you know, I think Swift is going to be as good at running back as Justin Herbert. I don't know if he's going to be an improvement running the football, but he's definitely going to be an improvement in the passing game, which is what they needed for Caleb Williams. And he's going to be an improvement, in blocking and decision making. So, you know, there's an upgrade there, but I don't want to see Justin Herbert disappear because he is a danger at running back. He led the league in average yards per carry last year amongst running backs. So how they manage the two and how they take advantage of both of them is going to be interesting. But Swift definitely improves the position because it really helps them with their running backs in the passing game now.
And Khalil, I think you said Justin Herbert, you meant Khalil Herbert. Justin Herbert would be a really interesting addition to the backfield, don't you think?
Yeah, too many Herberts, you know. Sorry about that. Definitely talking. It's funny because I've been focused on Khalil Herbert these last month or two because I think he's a pretty good running back, and I'm not. I wasn't sure. I mean, there's people talking about him not making the team. You know, I'm reading reports now that he could be a surprise cut. I don't see that happening. He's under control for one more year under contract, and he's too good. You don't know what you got in Johnson yet as your number two running back, if he's going to be your number two running back. So, you know, the position is interesting, but it's like everything else on the roster. They've got more talent there now, and that's why I think the anticipation is so high for this season.
So focused on Caleb Williams and wondering, and also the pass rush, so the offensive line, defensive line. I don't know what you've been able to see in practice, padded or otherwise, but the kickoff return will lead teams to all manner of creativity, and I'm very interested to see where this goes. I had Mike Mayock on last week, and he said it's his belief that a majority of teams will simply kick it out of the end zone,
You can start wherever you're going to start. We're not taking a chance on any funny business because NFL teams, coaches like cost certainty. They want to know where the ball is going to be, where the Bears can start, where they're going to have to defend. What have you learned so far, if anything, about kickoff plans?
Well, I don't think we've learned anything yet because until they start doing it at full speed in pads and we see how it's going to develop, we don't really know. The teams don't really know. So we're not seeing much in practice yet. But I think what we do know is you're right. Teams are going to start by just trying to kick the ball out of the end zone as much as they can and stay safe. But a lot of these kickers can't consistently kick the ball out of the end zone. And so that can't that's not a game plan for these teams. So it's going to be really interesting. And you know, we'll see it in preseason games. And I think we have to watch it closely there because until then, we're not really going to see much. And teams aren't going to show everything in preseason games. But this is something that's going to be developing through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And I'm not really sure how huge the impact is going to be. But I do think it's going to make a big impact on the game.
You know, the biggest impact will be made when Dave Tobe says it's time to make an impact. That's what I believe about special teams.
Yeah, well, I think you're on the right page there.
Hub, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your knowledge.
Always fun. Steve. Look forward to talking again soon.
All right, take care. Hub Arkush, NFL, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We have some breaking news for you. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Cubs, it was reported by Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers, the ESPN outlet, is reporting the Cubs are acquiring Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Nate Pearson. He's a reliever. So, acquiring a reliever. That's the report. Buying a reliever at deadline. Well, certainly their bullpen could use it. He's 27. He was once a highly thought of as a prospect, isn't everybody, and he got injured, underperformed, got moved to the bullpen, and this year he comes to the Cubs with a 5.63 ERA in 40-plus innings. A lot of homers. Saw that. Hey, Kyle Hendricks, a lot of homers. There you go. Okay. He strikes out nearly 30% of the batters he faces, walks under 10%. So they're looking for a guy, maybe they a guy who can miss bats. Maybe they can, maybe the, I don't know, the Cubs pitch lab, they gave you Jameson Taillon last year. Ooh, not so much.
I feel like they're just taking swings on young players right now.
Yes, they're swinging and missing more than opposing hitters
are. But the thing
is,
now they're getting a pitcher who a lot of the hitters hit, swing and hit. So that's not good.
Yeah. So he, at one time, he could throw really hard. And they're hoping the Cubs are looking like, well, okay, maybe you can hit those numbers again. So that's your breaking news. Cubs have made a move or are in the process of making a move. Nate Pearson, reliever from Toronto. And I don't know when he would be, when it's official, then he'll join the club. Speaking of which, this broadcast note. Tonight, the Cubs continue their series in Kansas City against the Royals. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:35 with first pitch at 6:10 on the Southwest Airline Cubs Radio Network. Let's take a break. We've talked a lot about football. We just talked about baseball. We talked about baseball earlier. I have an assignment for you, Robbie. A guest. The next time we get together, I want you to get this mom, this quarterback's mom, on our guest list. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I'm not going to let him around Zach Wilson, that's for sure.
Here's Robbie Toronto. He sucks, so you don't have to, and I'm right with him. Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? fashion. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. I suck so you don't have to. Only I've been overtaken by Robbie Triano, my producer, today. So let me update you with this. Mark Grody at Grody Sports. Bears just wrapped up their longest practice of training camp, 2.5 hours plus. Trying day for offense. Penalties galore. We'll try to get some answers, and then I'll report back on 670 The Score with at Steve Rosenblum. I know him. So Grody will be on sometime next hour. Not sure when. We want to give him all the flexibility to get all the answers to explain. Move! I'm just practicing my Andrew Billings. I said it right. It was Billings. All right, so that's a Grody tweet about how bad things were for the Bears. And this is good that they were bad, by the way. Understand? You want them to get the crap out of the way now. Make your mistakes and learn from them. Now, they say don't make the same mistake twice, but of 7 false starts, that might be making it. Don't make it the same mistake twice. Make it 7 times. Then maybe you learn. Robbie, before you get back to talking about how much you suck, what do you have for us?
Yes, Robbie Triano, Saturday Suckage Bears reporter here. Bears tweet reader. So a lot of things happened in Bears practice today. This is from Chris Emma. We know him very well, 670 The Score. Nate Davis has not been participating in team drills, though he's present and with a helmet on. The Bears are giving a run with Ryan Bates at guard and Coleman Shelton at center. We know that's been the topic of a lot of things this offseason is that offensive line. And according to Grody, we've read this as well, the Bears have some cleanup to do. I've counted 7 false starts today, with a majority of them coming from the first team. Once again, not great. And this is devastating when it comes to one of the most reliable players on the Bears. Bears practice ends with a rarity. This is from Patrick Finley. 3 straight Cairo Santos misses, and one of them was a doink. All the kicks were from 51 yards, but not great. And then the last bit of news. Javon Dexter was hot at the offensive line after the last couple of reps. Unclear why, but it looks like the Hard Knocks crew caught it. That's from Adam Hogue. There's been your report from Robbie Triano.
See, that whole defensive line, offensive line, all of that confrontation, that's just for Hard Knocks. It's for the cameras. That's my conspiracy theory. All right, so now how much do you suck? We were talking last hour about interim coach Matt Eberflus's culture club. Culture, big word, culture, Bears culture. I love our culture. We have great culture. Culture, culture, culture. So we had the culture club, and this year it's level up, level this, level that. He's got to level up. So that's level 42. So we were asking the question, what will be the next 80s band that interim coach Matt Eberflus will mention without knowing he's mentioning it? So which name will he invoke? And our texters were talking about, said, like, Men at Work, right? Why don't you explain how you got us into this?
So someone said Men at Work, and my mind just heard Men. And then I said, oh, the Safety Dance. I love their song, the Safety Dance. That would be Men Without Hats. So, the old Men at Work, Man Without Hats.
773 texter had, aha, in parentheses, that's what a modern NFL offense looks like. You're doing very well. We're not going to take it anymore. There we go. 847 texter. We're not going to take it anymore. Yeah, there could be a lot of them that interim coach Matt Eberflus won't know.
I like the Cure. Yeah, I don't know what he's curing, but.
Oh. So anyways, this is a guest I need you to book for us next time we get together, Robbie. The mother of Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard will be taking the field and fully healthy for Notre Dame. He transferred from Duke to Notre Dame. The Irish opened training camp July 31st. Leonard underwent a second surgery on his right ankle in mid-March. It corrected what's described as a developing stress fracture. The procedure sidelined him for spring practices.
Now, his availability for fall camp for this, for now, has never really been in doubt. They weren't sure if it would hold up during summer workouts. It has. Head coach Marcus Freeman said in late May that Leonard has been fully cleared and would be a participant in summer workouts. I loathe the sanctimonious frauds at Notre Dame, but I love Riley Leonard, or at least Riley Leonard's mom. Him too, part of this. Let me explain. See, this is a kid is very self-aware. I guess Duke kids are pretty smart, right, Dan Bernstein? Very self-aware that even in high school, he was, certainly in college, he knew he was getting smoke blown up his ass. Hey, have a great game. Yeah, you're going to be great. You're going to have a great game. He got tired of it. Understandable, right? Everybody tells you you're great, backslapping you. What do you believe? What's sincere, right? It's understandable if you're self-aware. The least bit uncomfortable if you have questions about that. So what he did was he asked his mom to tell him or leave a voicemail, call him or leave a voicemail that ran counter to all that stuff. Because he was just tired. He needed to break it up. It was sort of a sense of reality. So Leonard's mom, Riley Leonard's mom, when he was at Duke, would call him. And either he'd answer the phone or she'd leave a message that said something like, "Hi, son, you suck." That was it. You suck. She would tell her son, the quarterback at Duke and now at Notre Dame, "You suck."
We do need to get her on. That's absolutely.
Dang right. Yes, we need to talk to Riley Leonard's mom. She is a Bang Zoom guest on Saturday Suckage. Hi, son. I want to hear the story. I want to hear from a mom. How do you call up your son? You bore him. You raised him. You've seen him accomplish great. Son, you suck. Well, you do it because you need to help his mental welfare. He asked you to do it. That's what moms do.
Isn't that like the opposite of what it should be? Because there's a lot of people who go to therapy because their parents told them they suck when they didn't want it. And now Riley's like, "I want you to say that."
So he's not in therapy. He's in a huddle. My exactly. Mom said I suck. So that's a good dose of reality. Anyways, your job is to get Riley Leonard's mom on. I wish I had her name for you, but you're so resourceful.
Yeah, no, I got it. Riley's mom has got it. Go, yeah.
Yeah, there he goes. Sing it out. All right. We're going to take a break when we come back. We'll do the WB Club. We'll have a meeting in the WB Club because the WB Club's going overseas, going global. Maybe the largest one hitter you've ever seen by a Wake and Bake Club Hall of Famer. We'll discuss that next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, "Only you can..." I knew this.
We're so high right now.
Hello. Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like... breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people got sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like, breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Swed, we learned last week. Snoop Dogg opened his first dispensary in his hometown in Inglewood.
sent on Sentinella, California, in Los Angeles, called SWED, which stands for Smoke Weed Every Day.
Smoke weed every day.
Yesterday, Snoop was one of the official torchbearers in the torch relay for the opening of the Paris Olympics. He's an NBC commentator, our Wake and Bake Club Hall of Famer, Snoop Dogg. And he's decked out in all of his USA, USA, all of his outfit, red, white, and blue. He's like Olympic pinafores. He posted a picture, and he was holding the Olympic torch. He said, I did a thing today. The torch picture, picture of him holding the torch, this giant sort of, I mean, maybe it's ivory. And he's holding it up high, and it's lit. And several Wake and Bake Club members texted me the picture and said, is this the world's largest one hitter? I'm unclear on whether Snoop tried to spark a blunt with it.
Yes, he did.
Would not surprise me. But that's how the Olympics, that led up to the boat parade of nations. Speaking of the Olympics, Amanda Kashubi, Cash Money, as I called her, Tribune sports editor. She's wonderful. She tweeted during the torch relay through Paris that they should light the cauldron with a cigarette and disdain. I think you really captured the spirit of the thing, Cash Money. So whether you're high or not, if you're up at all hours, there's Olympic events going on. If you were up this morning, now maybe you were waking and baking earlier than this meeting called for. Bulls fans got to see something. They got a treat, actually. Australia, Spain, basketball game's going on. Josh Giddey, he's your point guard. He's your guy, Bulls fans. He's Australian. Australia 92, Spain 80. Josh Giddey played 29 minutes, 17 points on 7 of 12 field goals, 2 of 4 from 3-point. Whatever the Olympic, I don't know the Olympic numbers, but if it's the same range, but for a guy who can't shoot, that's good shooting. 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. He was plus 15 in time on the court. Josh Giddey, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of the Olympics, this seems like as good a time as any to bring this up. The host country frequently does things they get to because they're the host country. They get to make their rules. My country, my rules. As a parent, Robbie, someday you may learn the phrase, my roof, my rules.
That was a staple in the Triano household, yes.
Well.
And then I took the roof off.
And the Olympics, it's my country, my rules. So the French, overseeing the Olympics, have determined there will be no French fries. No French fries at the French Olympics.
I thought this was America. Wait, that's France.
No, they're in France. Yeah, they're in Paris. Yeah. Chef Charles Guilloy explained to the New York Times, French fries are too risky because of fire hazard concerns over deep fat fryers. But these are the French, right? Every meal is a... Be our guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Wrap your napkin round your neck, Cherie, and we'll provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres. Why, we only live to serve. Try the great stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. We can sing, we can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We are guest, be our guest. So you should be able to handle deep fryers.
That was really good, by the way.
Pommes frites. Thank you. Thank you. Drive home safely, tip your waitstaff. And there won't be avocado toast at the Athletes Village either. This is according to a compilation of rules, according to E-Channel. No to foie gras because animal well-being is on everyone's mind, and no to avocados because they are imported from a great distance and consume a lot of water.
I guess when you got like the world's dirtiest river in the Seine, they made all the athletes sail down yesterday. They're worried about water. Here's something I found stunning. No champagne for you. There will be no champagne in the athletes in the Olympic Village at all. The Olympic entire Olympic Village. Athletes who win want to celebrate with champagne. Well, they can all have champagne in Paris. They can go out into Paris. There's no champagne. According to one of the spokesmen, we wanted to create some places where the athletes will feel very enthusiastic and comfortable so they can have some conversations, discussions, and to share their core values about sports. So we have made a village club and a lounge and a sports bar with Coca-Cola. There's no alcohol. Have you ever been to an Olympics, France? Have you ever had anybody experience the Olympics? Enthusiasm, comfort, conversations, discussions, sharing of things, maybe body parts, don't happen without alcohol. You don't do that in a Coke lounge.
You get indigestion.
I covered the Nagano Olympics, 1998, and in Nagano, in Japan, there was a box of condoms at the check-in area when you got to the media village. The Olympic Village had several of those boxes. It's what athletes do. Everything, testosterone's running, all of the pheromones are out in force, just like it's their version of Olympic pin trading. And you think, you don't want anybody in the village. Once you take alcohol and you say no, you have to go to Paris and find it. Well, then the entire Olympic experience will be out in the streets of Paris. There will be no air conditioning either. There will be no air conditioning in the Olympians' rooms. Said one of the designers of the buildings, we designed these buildings so they would be comfortable places to live in the summer in 2024 and later on. And we don't need air conditioning in these buildings because we oriented the facades so that they wouldn't get too much sun during the summer. And the facades, the insulation is really efficient. I want air conditioning. I want my choice of air conditioning. The fact you made it without air conditioning, there's no scientific reason for doing it. You're just cheap. You ran out of money. You ran out of euros. They finally took away, after what happened from Nagano on, and they took the playbook from the 2020 Olympics when they went back to Japan. These were in Tokyo. They wanted to keep intimacy to a minimum among athletes. It was the pandemic, and they were trying to limit that. Okay. So what they did was they made beds out of cardboard so there would be a less of a desire to have that. Well, okay, that's done. Now we're aiming to have, here's your number, over and under, 300,000 condoms here at disposal for the athletes at the village. It's a quantity that makes sure that everybody will have what they're expecting and what they need.
Can you repeat that number one more time?
300,000 condoms at the athletes' village in Paris.
Why wasn't I an Olympian?
There are approximately 14,250 Olympic Village residents and 300,000 condoms to start the Olympics. I don't know what's left. Can you do the math? I honestly can't.
I don't want to.
No, do it. Other, yeah.
Yep. A lot
you
of
do
them
the
are
math
gone.
Before we
yep.
get done with this segment, Robbie. And they apparently are pretty vigilant already about social media. If you dare tweet out anything that they don't want, they've given you rules. If you dare tweet out video of something that they've gotten paid for, the French authorities, they've gotten paid for by some rights holder, oh man, are they coming down on you. They've got the social media police all over the place. Of course, if you're listening to this, you could be halfway around the world listening. You could be waking and baking in Paris. I understand that. But chances are you're not. Running shoes are optional. Did you know this? I didn't know this. Athletes may compete barefoot or with footwear on one foot or both feet. And there are athletes who have won gold medals, who have won events, like a marathon, barefoot. And the French are making sure you don't have to wear nothing. And you can do what you want. Here's something I didn't realize, and I've taken an interest in crewing and other paddling sports. Did you see The Boys in the Boat? You see Boys in the Boat, that movie?
No, I've seen Men Without Hats, though.
So. Right. Yeah. And Men at Work, and one of them has a safety. See, we're talking about condoms. That's a safety against all manner of things. Anyways, Boys in the Boat, I never really cared about crew. Certainly not the University of Washington, and certainly not in 1936. This movie makes you care. George Clooney directed this thing. It's a great, great movie. The winner of the national championship in 1936 in the United States went on to represent the United States at the 1936 Olympics in Germany. We got to watch some guy named Jesse Owens run, and they would compete against Adolf Hitler's Germany. And it was terrific. Well, I didn't know this. I thought this was, you know, I treated everything. When you grow up playing hockey, learning the hockey rules, you break a stick, you drop your stick, or it's a penalty. I did not know this, but the International Canoe Federation, I can't believe I just said that. International Canoe Federation. Doesn't it sound like we've gone from the Olympics in Paris, the luminosity, till we've gone to deliverance?
The ICF, canoeing. Though. Yes.
We've gone from Paris to Hee Haw. According to the International.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, I could use some. International Canoe Federation's guidelines. An athlete with a broken paddle during the canoe slalom must drop back and or complete the course alone. The broken end of the paddle is considered dangerous. However, they may drop the paddle and use their hands to finish the course. Sure. There you go. Olympic rules. No French fries in France. No champagne in the Olympic Village. But 300,000 condoms for 14,250 athletes. Robbie, do the math. We still got a minute here.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Hold on.
269 texture. They may need some help from WB Club members to put those condoms to good use. I don't. 773. Come on, squeal. Yeah.
That's 21 condoms per person.
Wow, the Olympics are longer than 21 days. In fact, the Olympics are longer than 7 days. I would think the athletes being as fit as are.
Like, yeah.
Three, that won't be nearly enough. There is going to be an uproar.
Well, it depends on the men.
You listen closely. You listen closely to the Olympic reporting and see when the athletes begin squealing themselves about the lack of protection offered by the host country. And then, as my friend Amanda Kashubi would say, they would light a cigarette and sneer in disdain at you. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We're trying to reach Mark Grody to make sure he has his time to work and then come back at 1:25. There's things I want to get to in the cultural zeitgeist.
We have a confirmation from Grody, 1:20.
Okay, but we do have Bears updates now. You had some updates. You had some tweet updates about what happened, what was interim coach Matt Eberflus is saying, sorry, we suck.
So Matt Eberflus said sorry to the fans because the practice where the fans could attend was far away from the field, which may have been good for today because today was not a very good day for the Bears. So we apologize to the fans because they couldn't really see practice.
See, you're such a football fan, but it was a good day for the defense. And they're Bears, true. Too.
They're Bears, too.
We're Bears, too. Get them a T-shirt.
Well, we're so programmed to root for the offense. So I guess you're right. Bears defense, good for them. But also a news for Nate Davis. Nate Davis is considered day-to-day with a strain, Matt Eberflus said. The Bears have touted Ryan Bates' versatility, and now they set to rely upon it, sliding him over to right guard. That's from Chris Emma. This has been your Bears tweet report from Robbie.
Wow. Look at you doing that again, huh? Look at you.
I found my lane.
All right. 35 years ago, there was a an iconic movie that debuted. And as long as we're talking about 300,000 condoms at the Olympics, this iconic movie, and you'll know exactly what it is, had the greatest fake orgasm in movie history. Well, there's stuff to go along with that. So in the cultural zeitgeist, we will discuss that. I have a new riff to add to my list of good things. And there's a Iceland has one of the most interesting college courses you might ever consider. That and more. Mark Rohde next hour talking about Bears football, Hallis Hall. Oh, and next hour, before I get done, we'll just talk about how depraved the NHL is, how soulless and depraved the NHL is. Can't let that go. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going... Only you can. I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people got sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Swed, we learned last week. Snoop Dogg opened his first dispensary in his hometown in Inglewood, on Sentinella, California, in Los Angeles, called SWED, which stands for Smoke Weed Every Day.
Smoke weed every day.
Yesterday, Snoop was one of the official torchbearers in the torch relay for the opening of the Paris Olympics. He's an NBC commentator, our Wake and Bake Club Hall of Famer, Snoop Dogg. And he's decked out in all of his USA, USA, all of his outfit, red, white, and blue. He's like Olympic pinafores. He posted a picture, and he was holding the Olympic torch. He said, I did a thing today. The torch picture... Picture of him holding the torch, this giant sort of, I mean, maybe it's ivory, and he's holding it up high, and it's lit, and several Wake and Bake Club members texted me the picture and said, is this the world's largest one-hitter? I'm unclear on whether Snoop tried to spark a blunt with it.
Yes, he did.
Would not surprise me. But that's how the Olympics, that led up to the boat parade of nations. Speaking of the Olympics, Amanda Kashubi, Cash Money as I called her, Tribune sports editor. She's wonderful. She tweeted during the torch relay through Paris, that they should light the cauldron with a cigarette and disdain. I think you really captured the spirit of the thing. Cash money. So, whether you're high or not, if you're up at all hours, there's Olympic events going on. If you were up this morning, now maybe you were waking and baking earlier than this meeting called for. Bulls fans got to see something. They got a treat, actually. Australia, Spain, basketball games going on. Josh Giddey, he's your point guard. He's your guy, Bulls fans. He's Australian. Australia 92, Spain 80. Josh Giddey played 29 minutes, 17 points on 7 of 12 field goals, 2 of 4 from 3-point. Whatever the Olympic, I don't know the Olympic numbers, but if it's the same range, but for a guy who can't shoot, that's good shooting. 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. He was plus 15 in time on the court. Josh Giddey, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of the Olympics, this seems like as good a time as any to bring this up. The host country frequently does things they get to because they're the host country. They get to make their rules. My country, my rules. As a parent, Robbie, someday you may learn the phrase, my roof, my rules.
That was a staple in the Triano household, yes.
Well.
And then I took the roof off.
And the Olympics, it's my country, my rules. So the French overseeing the Olympics have determined there will be no French fries. No French fries at the French Olympics.
I thought this was America. Oh, wait, that's France.
No, they're in France. Yeah, they're in Paris. Yeah. Chef Charles Guilloy explained to the New York Times, French fries are too risky because of fire hazard concerns over deep fat fryers. But these are the French, right? Every meal is a... Be our guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Wrap your napkin round your neck, cherie, and we'll provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres. Why, we only live to serve. Try the great stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. We can sing, we can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We are guest, be our guest. So you should be able to handle deep fryers.
That was really good, by the way.
Pommes frites. Thank you. Thank you. Drive home safely, tip your waitstaff. And there won't be avocado toast at the Athletes' Village either. This is according to a compilation of rules, according to E-Channel. No to foie gras because animal well-being is on everyone's mind, and no to avocados because they are imported from a great distance and consume a lot of water. I guess when you got like the world's dirtiest river in the Seine, they made all the athletes sail down yesterday. They're worried about water. Here's something I found stunning. No champagne for you. There will be no champagne in the athletes in the Olympic Village at all. The entire Olympic Village. Athletes who win want to celebrate with champagne. Well, they can all have champagne in Paris. They can go out into Paris. There's no champagne. According to one of the spokesmen, we wanted to create some places where the athletes will feel very enthusiastic and comfortable so they can have some conversations, discussions, and to share their core values about sports. So we have made a village club and a lounge and a sports bar with Coca-Cola. There's no alcohol. Have you ever been to an Olympics, France? Have you ever had anybody experience the Olympics? Enthusiasm, comfort, conversations, discussions, sharing of things, maybe body parts. Don't happen without alcohol. You don't do that in a Coke lounge.
You'd get indigestion.
I covered the Nagano Olympics 1998, and in Nagano, in Japan, there was a box of condoms at the check-in area when you got to the media village. The Olympic Village had several of those boxes. It's what athletes do. Everything, testosterone's running, all of the pheromones are out in force, just like it's their version of Olympic pin trading. And you think, you don't want anybody in the village. Once you take alcohol and you say no, you have to go to Paris and find it. Well, then the entire Olympic experience will be out in the streets of Paris. There will be no air conditioning either. There will be no air conditioning in the Olympians' rooms. Said one of the designers of the buildings, we designed these buildings so they would be comfortable places to live in the summer in 2024 and later on. And we don't need air conditioning in these buildings because we oriented the facades so that they wouldn't get too much sun during the summer. And the facades, the insulation is really efficient. I want air conditioning. I want my choice of air conditioning. The fact you made it without air conditioning, there's no scientific reason for doing it. You're just cheap. You ran out of money. You ran out of euros. They finally took away, after what happened from Nagano on, and they took the playbook from the 2020 Olympics when they went back to Japan. These were in Tokyo. They wanted to keep intimacy to a minimum among athletes. It was the pandemic, and they were trying to limit that. Okay. So what they did was they made beds out of cardboard so there would be a less of a desire to have that. Well, okay, that's done. Now we're aiming to have, here's your number, over and under, 300,000 condoms here at disposal for the athletes at the village. It's a quantity that makes sure that everybody will have what they're expecting and what they need.
Can you repeat that number one more time?
300,000 condoms at the athletes' village in Paris.
Why wasn't I an Olympian?
There are approximately 14,250 Olympic Village residents and 300,000 condoms to start the Olympics. I don't know what's left. Can you do the math? I honestly can't.
I don't want to.
No, do it. Yeah.
Yep. A lot
you
of
do
them
the
are
math
gone.
Before we yep. get done with this segment, Robbie. And they apparently are pretty vigilant already about social media. If you dare tweet out anything that they don't want, they've given you rules. If you dare tweet out video of something that they've gotten paid for, the French authorities, they've gotten paid for by some rights holder, oh man, are they coming down on you. They've got the social media police all over the place. Of course, if you're listening to this, you could be halfway around the world listening. You could be waking and baking in Paris. I understand that. But chances are, you're not. Running shoes are optional. Did you know this? I didn't know this. Athletes may compete barefoot or with footwear on one foot or both feet. And there are athletes who have won gold medals, who have won events, like a marathon, barefoot. And the French are making sure you don't have to wear nothing. And you can do what you want. Here's something I didn't realize, and I've taken an interest in crewing and other paddling sports. Did you see The Boys in the Boat? You see Boys in the Boat, that movie?
No, I've seen Men Without Hats, though.
So. Right. Yeah. And Men at Work, and one of them has a safety. See, we're talking about condoms. That's a safety against all manner of things. Anyways, Boys in the Boat. I never really cared about crew, certainly not the University of Washington. And certainly not in 1936. This movie makes you care. George Clooney directed this thing. It's a great, great movie. The winner of the national championship in 1936 in the United States went on to represent the United States at the 1936 Olympics in Germany. We got to watch some guy named Jesse Owens run. And they would compete against Adolf Hitler's Germany. And it was terrific. Well, I didn't know this. I thought this was, I treated everything. When you grow up playing hockey, learning the hockey rules, you break a stick, you drop your stick, or it's a penalty. I did not know this, but the International Canoe Federation. I can't believe I just said that. International Canoe Federation. Doesn't it sound like we've gone from the Olympics in Paris, the luminosity, to we've gone to deliverance?
The ICF, canoeing. Though. Yes.
We've gone from Paris to Hee Haw. According to the International.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, I could use some. International Canoe Federation's guidelines. An athlete with a broken paddle during the canoe slalom must drop back and or complete the course alone. The broken end of the paddle is considered dangerous. However, they may drop the paddle and use their hands to finish the course. Sure. There you go. Olympic rules. No French fries in France. No champagne in the Olympic Village. But 300,000 condoms for 14,250 athletes. Robbie, do the math. We still got a minute here.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Hold on.
269 texture. They may need some help from WB Club members to put those condoms to good use. I don't. 773. Come on, squeal. Yeah.
That's 21 condoms per person.
Wow, the Olympics are longer than 21 days. In fact, the Olympics are longer than 7 days. I would think the athletes being as fit as that won't be nearly enough. There is going to be an uproar.
Well, it depends on the men.
You listen closely. You listen closely to the Olympic reporting and see when the athletes begin squealing themselves about the lack of protection offered by the host country. And then, as my friend Amanda Kashubi would say, they would light a cigarette and sneer in disdain at you. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We're trying to reach Mark Grody to make sure he has his time to work and then come back at 1:25. There's things I want to get to in the cultural zeitgeist.
We have a confirmation from Grody, 1:20.
Okay, but we do have Bears updates now. You had some updates. You had some tweet updates about what happened, what was interim coach Matt Eberflus is saying, sorry, we suck.
So Matt Eberflus said sorry to the fans because the practice where the fans could attend was far away from the field, which may have been good for today because today was not a very good day for the Bears. So we apologize to the fans because they couldn't really see practice.
See, you're such a football fan, but it was a good day for the defense. And they're Bears, true. Too.
They're Bears, too.
They're Bears, too. We're Bears, too. Get them a T-shirt.
Well, we're so programmed to root for the offense, so I guess you're right. Bears defense, good for them. But also a news for Nate Davis. Nate Davis is considered day-to-day with a strain, Matt Eberflus said. The Bears have touted Ryan Bates' versatility, and now they set to rely upon it, sliding him over to right guard. That's from Chris Emma. This has been your Bears tweet report from Robbie.
Wow. Look at you doing that again, huh? Look at you.
I found my lane.
All right. 35 years ago, there was an iconic movie that debuted. And as long as we're talking about 300,000 condoms at the Olympics, this iconic movie, and you'll know exactly what it is, had the greatest fake orgasm in movie history. Well, there's stuff to go along with that. So in the cultural zeitgeist, we will discuss that. I have a new riff to add to my list of good things. And there's Iceland has one of the most interesting college courses you might ever consider. That and more, Mark Grody next hour, talking about Bears football, Hal's Hall. Oh, and next hour, before I get done, we'll just talk about how depraved the NHL is, how soulless and depraved the NHL is. Can't let that go. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.